that guy in the first song, time. He's all about cheating on his wife. Because the ad in the paper is saying that he likes pina coladas. And he responds, because his lady's getting kind of old and all that. He responds, yeah, I do. Let's meet up.
And
basically.
That's his wife's ad.
And then when they meet up, it turns out to be his wife, which totally makes everything okay. It glosses over the fact that this man was all right with cheating. Because there ain't no way he knew it was his wife.
You got deep into that one.
Hey, this is Nikita from the band Everfound, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
To Comic Pop Corn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April
and Lenny,
Jonathan,
Logan,
and this is part two of our special episode with Nathan Ferrugia from Melbourne, from the author of the series Fifth Column, where we are talking about The Force Awakens. So Nathan, thank you for staying with us for the second part.
Glad to be here.
Hopefully we're not driving you nuts. No
not
comment,
yet.
Not yet. I was going to say no comment there, huh? When we left off on the last one, we were talking about favorite moments, not necessarily favorite characters, but favorite moments. Nathan gave us a little bit of one. I gave one. Logan, did you have a favorite moment? You haven't said a whole lot yet.
I'd say the first battle with the lightsaber, him transitioning to the gun. You see, he is not melee.
Oh, melee?
Melee, whatever. I call it melee because that's how I see it.
So you're talking about Finn?
Yeah. And first battle with the lightsaber in it.
First battle with Finn and the lightsaber.
Yeah, I think that was cool. Yeah. He was like, he had a lightsaber and he used it. He's like, this is crap. Give me my blaster. Yeah.
And that was actually a scene, the other scene that I was kind of like, well, they could have done that a little different. And see if you guys agree with me, and Nathan, see if you think this would have been a better story point. And we got a couple of authors here in the rooms.
Who?
To me, the stormtrooper that had basically the force pike, when they went, and it kind of gave reasoning for Finn to be able to handle the lightsaber, because they did have melee training. So that was great. I enjoyed that. But instead of just a regular stormtrooper, would it have been better if it would have been Captain Phasma to make her a little bit stronger character?
Or just another captain?
Oh, I think
to showcase their well, okay, yeah.
Because she was
but didn't
supposed to be
he
a
didn't pilot. Kill that stormtrooper then.
No, well, he
no,
with
he,
Captain
he
Phasma,
the...
he wouldn't have had to have killed her because he could have, you know, still stumbled, got rid of the lightsaber, got the blaster, and then you know she could have went on to doing something
but
else, or
right.
hide
but
or
still,
something.
But he did, yeah, he didn't win that when Han shot him.
But the stormtrooper was killed, and that's
right.
why I think it wasn't Captain Phasma.
But I think it would have been a little bit more. Oh, substantial if it was Phasma, because it would have shown her why she's a captain, why she's in charge of these troops.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could have come up with another way for him to get out of it, too, you know, yeah. instead of her dying or something. I don't know.
I agree that that could have... Well, you know, the thing is she is such an incidental character in my mind that had you guys not said her name repeatedly tonight, I wouldn't even know it.
Exactly.
And I know that she did do two pretty decent-sized talking scenes.
Yeah.
And then I really love the scene where she's like, she turns on them. She's like, I'm not going to, you know, give you the codes or whatever they need to shut off the power grid so they can get in. And then they threaten to kill her, and then she goes ahead and does it.
Yeah, she literally. How did she become captain? Yeah. Oh my God, no backbone.
Maybe that's how you become captain. I don't know.
Hey, but no, I don't know. I thought what?
Huh?
Okay, no, I thought with Phasma and everything. God, where was I going? Oh, with the whole female idea. We watched this two times actually. And,
I watched it 1.5 and I still haven't seen it.
Yeah, Logan slept through the first half of the second. Anyways, but when we watched it the second time, I can't remember exactly where it was, but there was this little tiny stormtrooper moment, you know, of dialogue, and it sounded like a female voice, but it was a regular stormtrooper. And I'm like, well, why the hell didn't she get any uppity-up? Like,
uppity-up?
She's not in a fancy suit.
Exactly. Like, I was like...
What do you think, Nathan, about the story point with the melee and if it would have been changed to the captain instead of just a regular stormtrooper?
You know, you could have gone either way. I mean, I think there were a whole lot of scenes with Phasma. Is that her name? Phasma?
Yes, Phasma. Yeah.
I almost... I'm sure there were a lot more and they just got cut.
So. Yeah, that's what I think. Because
none
they
of us really remember her.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They made such a big deal out of her. Yeah.
They even gave her a real name. Because Finn's name was FN-1280, you said?
2187.
That was Finn's name.
They never gave him one.
So, do they get that for getting captain?
Congratulations, you've earned 50 kill points. You get a name.
Exactly.
Maybe it's so, like on a PlayStation, and once you get to a certain level, you can input your name.
Is this an actual female lead that you like?
Oh.
Well, she wasn't a lead.
She
was barely in the movie.
Female?
So yeah,
yes. I mean, I don't like. Yeah, like she was barely in it, so I thought she was great. But no, I don't know. I like her.
April likes lots of female leads. She likes Cersei Lannister. She likes Cruella De Vil.
I liked Eve in that one comic
in the
just
Bible.
Read.
Yeah,
Coffin Hill. Yeah. Anyways. I'd have to see how it progresses with her. I see myself liking her.
Yeah.
Well, if I see myself not disliking her, which is improvement.
That's something. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, you don't have to like a person to not dislike them. But yeah, so I think if they expand upon her and they will.
If she survives the sun.
So,
I think she did.
But for now, I see her as kind of like, no backbone. Like, I thought it was kind of dumb how she gave in so early, but I mean, we didn't even see her face or anything. For all we know, it could be a 12-year-old boy.
Okay.
Eunuch.
Steroided awesome. Out.
Whole new. Let's make it canon. Go.
And growth hormones. Yeah.
No. It's like the little kid in the big suit.
Yeah.
Stilts and everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Logan said something about a giant Sith Lord or something.
That was
a hologram.
Oh, that was a hologram. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He could be a giant. They don't ever say
either
way.
Oh, my God. But I'll be honest. I thought he was so overdone with the evil crap. Like, I thought they, like, threw up evil all over him.
They threw up evil all over him?
Yeah, because, like, he was, like, the bald and scary, gnarly face and, like, the crook finger and everything.
Oh,
was, like,
okay. Rah. Like, Dr. Evil type of crook finger.
I just thought he was...
No, not that one.
No. that one's like the complete opposite.
I like this that one. For my evil plan.
Like a witch. Like, you know when a witch is
okay. Yeah.
I'm good at that. But I don't know. I thought it was, he was so over the top and overdone that I was just like, can you please stop for a second? Jesus. I couldn't take him seriously.
What about you, Lynn? Your favorite moment?
Well, like I said, my favorite moment was definitely that scene with Finn whenever they're in the battle, because that type of, post-traumatic stress that they're showing.
Okay.
And that's real, you know, and that's something that they they brought some, they really, for me, touched a nerve because they brought something that was real and legitimate into the story that I could really, you know, like, I could relate with them because I could see where, you know, I may have never been through a war myself, but I've been through a little bit, and I could see where he's been traumatized a little, and like, you know, his not, you know, like Han was really just all about, you know, getting his money back to Jabba so he didn't quit sending bounty hunters yeah. after him. But Finn didn't have an excuse. He was afraid. And he, it was literally fight or flight. He chose flight and he wanted out. Right. And because, you know, he knew whichever way he was going, he was going to die. And that was pretty much his lot as a stormtrooper. And when he took off the mask and went that way, that didn't mean he wanted to join the rebels. You know, he wanted to tell Rey that. And yeah, I really love that scene too, where he's like, "Yeah, I'm a rebel." You know, what I'm saying? Yeah. There's a lot of tension, sexual tension there. He's like, "Oh, I hope this works." Yeah, I'm a rebel. Oh, sure, yeah. Well,
and that's a
big time rebel.
That's another reason why Rey kind of irked me, because when they were at the bar and everything, and this was after, you know, like she's figured out, oh, he's not really a rebel or anything, and then he says, "Hey, can I get out of here?" And, you know, like, where's my ticket out and everything, and she gets all high and mighty and is like, "What the hell are you doing? Why aren't you trying to help out BB-8 I'm like, he has no connection with that bot.
He has no connection with the other.
I
knew Poe a little bit,
and the other thing, and he liked Poe, and he would have helped him if he could have. And Poe turned out to be all right, but he thought he was dead. So, mm-hmm. you know, he thought he was doing the right thing, getting the bot back to where it was going. But, like, when he realized what they were going to do, he was like, "You guys are crazy.
Yeah, and I think
out." I seen what happened to the black dude in this movie. I'm out.
And that's pretty much his reaction.
And I think he had every right to be like that.
Yeah, I think he was one of the most genuine characters I've ever seen in a film ever. He's a brilliant part. And it's just that little scene in the beginning that really did mm-hmm. a lot for me.
He's seen wars from the Empire side, or the Final Order side. So he gets to see the massacres and none of the Rebels winning.
Yeah.
True. Because if he saw the Rebels winning,
he'd be dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I want to go see this movie now.
I tell everyone that I'm not giving spoilers to, that I loved it and it was worth seeing and they should go see it.
You kind of said yours was similar to mine, April.
No, it was.
Okay, same yeah. one.
Like, that is actually the one.
But a different translation.
You want to know what my favorite scene from the movie is?
What's go in your head, which there, one? Jonathan? Go for it.
Us talking about it right now.
That's a good one. That's the one that was after the credits.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Very, very far.
I know. But honestly, the ending of it was like, I hated the ending.
Oh.
Because, first off, yeah, with the whole Chewbacca grieving with over Han and yeah. everything, like, so they get back after Han died and they blow up the ship
they
and everything.
They move the sun. They finish.
Wait, what is it called?
Starkiller.
The Starkiller. That was Luke's original
okay.
last name.
I keep thinking Death yeah. Star, but I'm like, I know
it's the Starkiller base.
So, Starkiller. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so they get done with
it's
that, and then everyone has their sad moment, uh-huh. and then it's the next scene is Rey and R2-D2 and Chewie head out to.
It was BB-8 that went with her, wasn't it?
Mm-mm.
No. Oh, it was R2-D2.
BB-8 uh-huh. went to Poe.
Oh, that's yeah, right. Yeah. Went back with Poe.
Anyways, so they go to find Luke and all that, and like all of a sudden, Chewie. And I mean, not that Chewie and Rey okay, weren't already friends, but he seemed to get over Han's death way too quickly. Like, he was like, "What up, new partner? Yeah. Yay!"
Well,
like,
you don't know how Wookiees grieve.
Yeah,
he's gonna rip off a lot of arms playing that holo chess game.
Yeah,
just because he wants
so
to.
So, where was Luke Skywalker in
he
this
was
whole movie?
On some stupid island,
being so, Luke somewhere
being
else
Luke?
And useless.
What do you mean being Luke?
So, being silent and just looking.
We'll just throw this back to Nathan and he can kind of explain it to you. But Nathan, how would you have liked to have gotten Mark Hamill's payday for what he did in the movie? And if you want to explain it to Jonathan, the ending there, how Luke came in?
I was happy with how Luke came across in that. I mean, you know, bringing him in at the end is fine with me. I didn't really have any criticism.
So he
I don't think people were really expecting him to come in early, whereas I think, you know, we needed someone like Solo to come in at some point and play a big part, even, you know, if it's not for the whole movie. But, you know, I think just having Luke at the end, it just, yeah, it kind of worked. What didn't work for me was tying in with Rey. I just didn't think that was done very well. Even why she was there, why she was allowed to go pretty much by herself.
Yeah, why didn't just, Leia do it?
Yeah, exactly. It just, I mean, there was obviously a lot of, yeah, a lot of logical problems, a lot of coincidences happening there. And then at least they brought him in at the end. I thought that was nice. It wasn't much of a cliffhanger, but, you know, yeah, it worked all right for me.
So he wasn't in the whole movie. They just brought him in at the very end.
And that's what bothered me. Not that Luke was. So what happened is they get to the he's on this little island on a planet.
On a mountain.
And on a mountain?
Yeah.
It's a mountainous island.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty tall island.
Okay. All islands are mountains. That's a fact, but whatever. So
was he, like, training on this island or mountain?
No, he was just chilling.
He was just chilling.
He left his lightsaber
because he felt felt bad about Ben and the kind of killing all the Jedi and that thing.
Apparently very bad about it.
Very bad. So Rey and all of them get there, and Rey climbs up all these steps and everything. And he's standing there, kind of overlooking the water, just chilling with a cape on. So he's got his hood up and everything. And then he turns around, and Rey, at such an awkward distance from him, holds out his lightsaber. Like it wasn't a normal, like, there you go, Lenny.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, it was like. It was that like, there you go, Logan.
No, it was further than that, I think. It was like 20 foot away, and she's like, go ahead. You know you can use the force to pull it out of my hand. Go ahead. You know you can.
And then he's just kind of looking hard at it. Like,
yeah, zero lines, correct?
He's thinking about it. Yeah, zero lines. And then, and not even that bothered me. If they would have done a quick blank.
If they had it for a few seconds instead of a minute or two,
yeah,
that might have worked. But
yeah, so what I wanted to happen was maybe him turn around and the screen go black, or her, like, because I like sudden ending cliffhangers and that type of stuff. But so I might have been able to deal with her just standing there awkwardly away from him with the lightsaber, but then they started to like circle them with the camera, and I was like, what are you doing right now? Like, I think we understand she's giving him the lightsaber, you don't have to like circle them. Oh god, it was so silly.
For me, there wouldn't have been a movie if they hadn't gotten Luke at the end, because that was what the whole movie was about.
I think, yeah, I like, think
the plans weren't for a Death Star, they were for finding Luke.
I would have ended it.
Here's my problem with that. He drew a map across galaxies to where he would be, and they were able to pinpoint him. And they had no idea where he was. Even with an incomplete part of the map, they couldn't riddle it out. So once they put the two pieces from the two droids of the map together, then they just followed the dotted line across space.
And that's the thing, is that the piece that was missing wasn't even the finished piece. So they literally had his location. They had his endpoint.
So yeah, the whole focus on this movie was looking for Luke.
I think the endpoint was part of BB-8's part of the map.
No, his part was the middle.
I think she's right. I think the endpoint was in R2-D2's. But so the thing is, they didn't have the map. R2-D2 had the map, and he was inactive.
So they had nothing.
Once BB-8 showed up and they had the whole map, R2-D2 activated himself.
That's true.
Why they didn't give him another battery pack or something?
Well,
no, he deactivated himself.
Yeah. He has rights.
What's always been weird for me about Star Wars is how the droids always have the most emotions. Like, the only one who's ever worried about dying in the whole first C-3PO. Yeah, he's all worried the whole time. He's a droid. I mean, he gets ripped apart by that snow monster, and yeah, he's fine. And I mean, it's like, dude, you're a droid. I mean, I know you have emotions, but chill out. You're not going to die because you're a robot or a droid. So,
but see, if you think about it, he may not be worried about
this movie at
all.
Yeah,
he was.
Was he? Okay.
And he.
Uselessly, but yes.
Uselessly.
Yeah, very uselessly.
Arm transplant.
Yeah, he had it. Well, yeah, he had an arm transplant where his left arm, was it?
Maybe.
I think it was the left arm that was red. And the weird thing is, on this, was watching it the second time over, I looked really closely at the two arms, and it was the right arm. Huh. You know, it wasn't. It might have been from another droid, but it was from the same type of droid.
Droid.
Yeah. So I was like, literally, why don't you just go spray paint it? Like, come on now. And then at the end, when they were saying bye to Rey when she went off to find Luke, his arms matched. So within all this time of almost dying, they were like, oh God, now's the time. R2-D2's finally awake. Gotta look good now.
Well, it wasn't the... I don't know if it... Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it did move, but I didn't ever see it move, and I thought that it was like an android prosthetic. Like, the red arm he had didn't work. It was non-functional. It was just there to make him feel better because, you know, he has a lot of emotion.
Well, and see, here's the thing with that is... and this is like reading into things way too deep, but with the whole, you know, why do they feel so much? Maybe they're not feeling it. They're scared of their death. Maybe they're scared of the people's death, like of Luke's death, because they'll continue to live with that.
Yeah.
No, you know? C-3PO didn't even care about R2-D2. He kicked him in the
butt. That's because R2-D2 ain't going to die and everything. He's another droid.
But C-3PO still, at that point, seemed very concerned about his own health and well-being. Well, I'm not going that way. It's much too rocky. This way seems much better.
He's just snooty. I love C-3PO. He's my favorite.
I love him, too.
As you're going to tell, Nathan, I didn't mention it this first time. If you want to jump in at any time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the droid talk.
We can get deep into it. But that's just when you know you have something more fragile than you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you tend to worry about it more. You don't want to protect it more.
I think that's why they did bring in those droids, like Lenny was saying. I think they brought them in for, like, the emotional aspect. Like, a lot of the times...
They just brought it in. It would emotional make sense and to maybe, keep them, first yeah, off.
Emotional or maybe comedic relief, because I found C-3PO to be a little comedical.
Yeah, like he was cool.
Well, they called him and R2 the Abbott and Costello of Star Wars.
Right.
So, mm-hmm, you got that element. So, yeah, they were brought in for a little bit of the comedy.
Yeah, it makes sense for them to keep... C-3PO and R2, yeah, obviously. And also, yeah, it's a throwback, you know.
Because my favorite droid is R2-D2. So if they were to get rid of him, I'd be upset because he's my favorite droid.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, with your background with dealing with weapons and I don't know about how much aircraft time you've done and everything, but talking about let's start with the weapons first. The crossbow, I thought they... kind of brought that into more play this time and showed how powerful it was, but what did you think about, you know, they harken back, I guess, to World War II with the flame trooper. They had a heavy gunner with a stormtrooper. They had a bunch of bags.
Well, God,
you know,
they had
bags.
The whole freaking
so how did
speech.
That yeah how did how did you think they represented that? Did it, was it kind of felt a little bit more real as well than just, oh, it's a laser deal?
Yeah, I thought it was a nice touch. And that, actually, just thinking about that speech before, you know, they blasted everything behind them, I thought that was really effective. You know, it did really feel like, you know, it was really happening, and there was this, you know, there was this very evil, passionate force, you know, which was the First Order. So I thought that was very good. Yeah, I liked all that stuff. I think the crossbow was probably brought in, I think, because a lot of fans would have been talking for a while about why doesn't Solo just use a crossbow as well, you know?
Right.
I sort of felt like that was put in there because just finally we want him to use the crossbow as a joke, which was funny, but I felt like that was there for that very specific reason. And then he goes, because he does, doesn't he? He takes the crossbow right. for a
he
while.
He does, and then he goes.
And then he really likes it after he uses it. Oh, yeah. That's why. This thing,
it seems
he says,
like
that's
he
really.
He should have realized this before he was that old.
Out of all these years, you didn't once try it out.
But with the crossbow, or I think did they actually call it a bowcaster? I think. I can't remember. But they actually.
They should have.
They brought it back in the final, not final scene, but with Kylo Ren. When Chewbacca shot Kylo Ren
in the crotch,
you know, that kind of showed how, you know, they showed how devastating it was. So, you know, when Kylo Ren, we haven't even talked about this yet, when he was fighting Finn and then Rey with the lightsaber duel, he was injured.
Yeah. So technically, Rey still sucks.
So
it wasn't Rey all awesome so, kicking his butt.
And Finn had already at least scratched him.
Yeah,
I think
Finn
he
was
also
doing
got
good.
A pretty good slice on him,
you know,
too.
Plus the Wookiee shot him in the...
Yeah, I mean...
So do you think that was a good foreshadowing with the bowcaster and what Chewie did and leading into that lightsaber duel to make it more explainable?
Yeah, I think that worked. I mean, it just reminded me then just how rapid Rey's improvement of her force skills was through that movie, which was, I think, was just another symptom of really rushing through plot, you know, just like with the, we were a bit shortchanged with the characters reaching their emotional climaxes that just weren't merited. Sort of the same thing happened with how quickly she started to realize her powers.
Yeah.
In terms of screen time, it looked like it happened in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I mean, her skills with the lightsaber weren't over the top. Yeah. So I think visually that worked, but still she was up against someone who was particularly skilled. And he didn't come across that skilled in that sword, you know. In that
They were both very sloppy.
Because of the injury, though, could that explain why he was sloppy?
I think he was also arrogant.
Yeah, a little arrogant.
He didn't really think that she... He was... It was just like, oh, that's my toy. Well, give me my toy.
And
because he considered that his because it was his grandfather's. So the fact that, you know, she didn't actually... He didn't get it from her really makes me believe that... She's Luke's daughter.
Yeah. Well, and
you want to say something earlier, Logan?
She does have some slight excuse for being able to do the mind tricky thing,
because
she just had the mental aspect of the Force used against her. Monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
Well,
that is somewhat stretching it, and the last command should not have worked at all.
When she's like the stormtrooper, and she's like, "You will release me and everything."
She doesn't use it.
Yeah, no. But yeah, and to me. With Kylo Ren, he panics easy. I noticed, you know, if it doesn't go exactly to plan, you know, he's throwing a little hissy fit, you know, which is very teenagery. Oh no, and all that. And
what's going on with you, Lenny?
Something didn't go exactly to plan for me. I'm sorry. I was trying to be quiet. I wanted to say this about Kylo Ren earlier, and gosh, it just made me think about it. I think that they did it on purpose, the way he was.
Yeah.
Obviously a very skilled Jedi and then Sith, but at the same time...
He's still young.
And definitely not Anakin, not Darth Vader, not that same level of intensity or skill. And because I think that... And it's mentioned a lot that he is chasing after Darth Vader. He wants to prove that he's as good as Darth Vader. It's why he wears the mask before he needs it. He just wears a mask to disguise his voice and make him seem scary when he's got a baby face underneath
it. Like, yeah, he's
and I think that was very clever. That was one of the part of the movies that I really appreciated was the fact that it wasn't just rewashed Darth Vader. It was a fanboy, kind of like if you've ever seen The Incredibles, that kid that becomes the bad guy in The Incredibles.
Yeah.
He was a fanboy gone wrong. Like,
Syndrome.
He was like Syndrome. And, you know, the thing is that, like, that's one thing I didn't really like about Darth Maul and Dooku, and really all of them, was that they just seemed like cheap versions of
Vader. He's my favorite
Sith. Vader's mine, but... Darth Maul was he was a cool character and very intense and very Vader-esque, but to me almost too much like Darth Vader. And I think the fact that Kylo Ren is so inadequate, I think, just shows that they don't have anything to fight. Like, Luke's gone, there really is no light side of the Force because this poor excuse for a Sith is taking
bring
over.
That, to bring that out and see what everybody thinks about this, and we'll start with you again, Nathan, is instead of trying to fight the dark side, Kylo Ren was fighting the light side from taking over. So, did you like that twist in it?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of come across when you had that confrontation that he had with his father, and he, you know, that did hint at that he had that conflict between both sides. I mean, how far do you read into that? Because if you've seen it and you know that conversation that he has right before he kills his father, he could be just lying. You know, he could be lying to himself. So but it does suggest that there is some conflict there, that he is fighting the light. And, you know, it's convincing enough to me, I think, and I would like to see more of that in the future where he does struggle.
Yeah, and that'll...
He said it pretty well himself, though. This is my final step into the dark. Will you help me? Thank you.
Yeah,
though he doesn't mention it's into the dark before he says, "Will you help me?" and thank you.
But it is cool, to see, because you know, in future movies, to see his growth, whether it be towards the dark or the light side and everything, and that's why I think that, you know, with the fighting Rey and everything and all that, I keep wanting to call her Ren for some reason. It's not.
There's too many ends.
I know. But because
Finn, when, Ren, Kite. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Rey is just. And maybe that's why. Maybe her name just gets me off. It's just. It's wrong.
Rey of Sunshine.
I hate her name. Anyways, but from the get-go, when he kidnaps Rey and she uses her own force to push him back from reading her into her mind and everything, he panicked. You know, he went to his master and was like, "Oh God, dang, what am I gonna do now?" You know, and I think that carried through every time he met her. You know, like in the battle and everything, like he was off his game. So I think, you know, he had to get his head in the game.
No, I mean, so in the next
gotta get
movie,
your head in the game.
I might be totally crazy, but I think that, you know, they have bigger. I think that it's, yeah, I think that, you know, he is trying to do this dark road into the, you know, that, like Logan said, that was his final step. He actually, his master tells him this is going to be your, you know, your final move into the dark. And them saying that, what my new hope is that they go in a different direction. He doesn't just turn into this, because now he's scarred and mutilated a little bit. I mean, they're going to have to make machinery in him. You don't take a blaster and live, and you don't take a lightsaber and live and not have some sort of mechanical organs or other ordnance. Yeah. So, yeah. But I would like to see that go in a different kind of direction, where not necessarily that he just jumps back and becomes a Jedi, but, you know, there are... I don't know. I think more of a middle road. There are other roads, you know, maybe a double spy or, you know.
But I tell you when he took off his mask, it was the most anticlimactic moment of the whole entire movie. Yeah. I was so angry.
See, that's why me and April never get along, because I like that.
He took off his mask?
Yeah.
Yes. It didn't need it.
To me, he took it off at the wrong moment. Like, she was like, she took it off for Rey. He don't know Rey. I mean, God, I could see him taking his mask off for Han.
He was trying to flirt,
you know,
with her.
Yeah, obviously, he was trying to make another dark Jedi.
That is actually what happened. He was trying to flirt.
No, he wasn't. All right, he's got standards. And his standards are above Rey.
Watch it again. I think you might see. He was actually trying to get on the good side.
No, he was just trying to intimidate her. But which totally backfired. But to me, it was... To me... The removal of his masks felt forced and wrong. Like, it was the wrong moment. It kind of, I don't know, it was weird. And then the reveal itself was like, oh my God, oh. You know, like that's literally how I was.
You were
like,
expecting a scarred up face or something.
I don't know.
I'm not even scarred up. I just wanted something a little more intimidating. Yeah. Maybe a little more.
So like, the baby face didn't do it for you.
Not necessarily scars, but maybe some hardened eyes. You know, a little.
Did you notice those Yoda ears he had rocking?
Those
were real.
Not
I think
amongst
that,
his like
that,
weird 70s.
No, you could see him in the shadow. That dude had some big ears.
I don't like the actor. I like Kylo Ren, but I like masked Kylo Ren.
And rather than that double spy thing you mentioned, I think it would be better for them to just have him increase in confidence and power as the films go on. Because at the moment he's. Not even
he's
the
like
leader.
Baby.
He's somewhat
like a general
subordinate
or something.
To the general, actually.
True.
Because there's that general on the ship that he's at least in a place where he can be attacked from him.
But well, you remember, like Vader was subordinate of the Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
So there is an established.
It's going to be really random, but I've been thinking about it all night, and that there's never been a good time to bring it up.
Well, just bring it up.
Yeah, so you know, freaking way back at the beginning.
Let's go back.
Okay.
I'm such a detailed person. Little stuff just irks me. And
watch
it's not
out,
even
people.
In this movie, but in all of them. Well, when Rey was in her little house, room, whatever it was, she counted days.
Uh-huh.
She scratched it into the wall, and that freaking dummy didn't do tally marks. I was so pissed off. It was just one, 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 one. Oh my gosh! And that, like, the very first time we watched it, that's the first thing I picked up on out of that
was
whole
that
whole
she didn't
thing
tally
was that
the
she didn't do
days
tally marks, and just pissed me off so much. I was just like. Are you kidding me right
April,
now?
April, so, that's a little OCD right there.
Yeah, so you mean that she's going to go through that and she's going to have to count every single one of those. When even, like, if she could, didn't want to, she could just, like, do it. And if she had, did tally marks, she'd just go, one, two, boom. She could have done smart math.
What I got from that scene was the helmet and the stuffed X-Wing pilot. I didn't really care about the marks.
Oh, there was a stuffed X-Wing pilot?
Yeah.
It's not a real one. It isn't like it was taxidermy.
Like, I'm concerned. Is that Luke? No.
It's a stuffed Luke.
I either missed it or forgot it, but...
yeah, no, I thought the helmet thing was kind of dumb, but I ignored it because I was still on the tally mark.
You were still on the tally mark. You didn't care, like, about the helmet. It was the tally marks that got here.
Stupid marks.
A lot of people have been saying, and see what you guys think, and Nathan, you as well. With Rey, the reason I think it's Luke's daughter is because, not necessarily because of this stuffed X-Wing pilot and the X-Wing helmet, which helps lend itself to it. The saber calling out to her is a real big thing as well, yes. But to me, it's, if you look at the history of the Skywalkers, and I know you disavow the prequels, but we're going to go to the prequels, I'm afraid, Nathan. If you look at Anakin, he was a boy that could understand machinery. He was able to work on machinery. He picked up flying, and he was able to fly a Naboo fighter without hardly any second thoughts. Luke was able to understand R2 to a degree towards the end, like Lynn, he said earlier. He was able to fly without any problems. He was mechanical on Tatooine.
He was one of the best pilots in their academy, right, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a Wedge, or maybe it's Vic. I'm not sure which one says before he gets in.
Because yeah, the
boss comes out and says, you're kind of young. We're going into battle here. And he's like, oh, you know, Luke's the best, you know.
But then we have Rey that comes out, and she's... pretty much has a rapport with mechanical items, can pretty much pick up the language of droids, and she picks up flying. I mean, she picked up flying the flap. Like, yeah, she has some difficulties, but there at the end, she was flying like a pro.
Her first time ever flying.
And I think that was more of the Force helping her, too. Mm-hmm. So that's where it leads me to think that she's Skywalker's daughter. So what are your thoughts of that concept?
I think it just makes sense to me. If I was writing it, that's what I would do. She's either going to be a Skywalker or a Solo. Why would you make her anyone else? Although that could happen. She could just be no one.
and we kind of played around with, maybe she's a Solo. But then I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure Leia would know if she was pregnant again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could see Han not knowing, but...
Leia.
Really? Like,
she does hug her at the end.
Actually, yeah.
No.
This is something that I've always thought about Star Wars. Do you think, obviously not always, but since the first prequel came out, and I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you a question directly about the prequels, Nathan. Do you think that Anakin's mother's immaculate conception will come into any kind of play with Rey or anything like that, like if it does turn out that she's Skywalker's daughter? And another thing is,
test tube,
like, what I was just thinking was, wouldn't it be odd if she was, like, you know, fostered by him somehow, like maybe as a youngling he found her, she was incredible with the Force, Ben Solo psych out, she gets thrown on this rock because he's got to get out of the galaxy because he knows that if Ben and Snoke get him, they're going to corrupt him and then Dark Side City for everybody. But, it could be, and this is, you know, kind of what I just thought about while she was saying that, is that, or while Richard was saying that, was that, she might not be related to him, but had been raised by him, and he was, in fact, the person she was waiting for, but she didn't even know that when she met him. And that even though she's not a blood Skywalker because of his tutelage and because she was already a discovered Jedi youngling.
Impression.
See, she was... the big thing about Yoda was Yoda did not want to train Anakin or Luke because of their age. And so if, you know, she had a natural... And the thing is that Yoda said that if they're too old, they go to the dark side. So maybe that was why, since he couldn't keep her and was afraid of his own training methods, Luke dumped her on that little backwater planet.
Yoda's dump like, your little butt on
because he saved her and he did care about her, but he couldn't leave her in the clutches of Ben Solo.
I'll tell you what, Yoda's like George Washington. He's always got the best ideas and always gets ignored. Like, let's be real.
Jonathan had a comment.
True to April.
I wanted to bring up the whole maybe her being Leia's and Han Solo's daughter.
That's not because, possible. No, that's not.
Well, because, no, look, Luke and Leia were twins, and they didn't know about each other. So
that's because Obi-Wan Kenobi hid everything from
everybody.
Yeah,
but what if Leia and Han hid the fact, I mean, what if Leia hid from Han that she had twins? I mean, it could be possible.
They were different ages.
Yeah, you she's pretty younger much tell than him.
That he, and not only that, Leia doesn't act like she knows her. I mean, like, if Leia had been her mother, you'd think she'd know her own daughter when she saw her.
I don't know.
From the backstory.
What
do you think, Nathan, about Jonathan's idea?
I'm just curious. I'd like to know what age she was dumped on the planet.
It looked like 4 or 5.
But then
she was very, very young.
How many tally
marks were there? Quite a few.
I don't know. I only saw a small bit of the wall.
When did she start, anyways?
Well, they did have a flashback.
Yeah, no one starts that on the first day.
They did.
You don't go to a desert island because your plane crashed, and then first day you're like, okay,
Scrooge.
One.
But no, I mean, I don't know, because they did have a flashback of her remembering, and she looked really, really young, like younger than Anakin.
We always look younger in flashbacks, I swear.
So I don't know. Like, yeah, because I could play with her memory, because they never showed the people on the ship, her family, if it was family, or they just showed it.
I think the flashback in the script actually says the corridor that you see is in Cloud City.
Yes, it is.
So if you read the flashback, you're probably going to pick up on more than you're meant to from the original movie. But if she's 4, then I'm guessing she would have had some sort of foster parents or someone briefly taking care of her. I mean, she's not going to survive out there as a 4-year-old by herself, even with the Force.
Hey, I found out something really fun. Did you guys know that the guy that sold her the rations on that little planet, that was Simon Pegg?
Oh, is that Pegg's character?
Yeah.
That was fun.
I heard Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that she mind controlled. Daniel Craig was.
Okay.
There were a lot of uncredited cameos. Yeah. It's awesome.
There was, I don't know the name of the actor, but the smaller British boy that's in The Maze Runner, he was also in Chronicles of Narnia, that has a smaller face, really thin and wiry. I can't remember his name, but he was also a cameo. Mm. I picked up on him right away because he was on one of the First Order ship, that first one. He was up in the command bay.
One of the questions we had, and we couldn't remember quite for sure, but Jonathan, of course, didn't see it. See, have you seen the Harry Potter movies, Nathan? I'm sure you've probably seen at least some, if not all.
Was the
general one of the Weasley brothers?
Yes, he was.
Really?
What? I think it was Percy.
I don't know.
He looks a lot like Percy. Like, or maybe, no, they said Charlie.
Though I thought he was Charlie.
But see, if he was, then who cares, because Charlie's only in one scene of the movies.
But see, I can't...
It's still cool.
Because see, he looks really familiar, and that's the only place I can think of that had so many redheads.
I feel the strange.
They did have some ginger soup, didn't they?
They did.
So I still haven't looked that up to be for sure. But
I think
that was because I saw a post on that. They kind of compared them, and they put pictures together, and it looked like it was the same person. So, I mean,
I
it could have been.
For it.
And have we talked about are we avoiding talk about where the saber came from this time?
Sage? The Mos Kanata?
That might be it.
The bar?
The bar with Mos Kanata with having Anakin's saber?
Down in the basement.
Yeah, that was her name?
Yeah.
Mos Kanata.
Well, yeah, because Mos, they asked, like, why you got that? And she was like, it's a long story. So maybe they'll,
I don't want to bore you, but...
maybe at some time they'll go into that, too. Yeah. Yes.
I thought she was a pretty cool character, and I just don't understand how she was so dead set on the Force and all that stuff. Like, that's one of the things, like, obviously Luke or somebody had been there recently because she had his saber.
Well, he lost that on Cloud City, though.
Yeah, so what? Well, so it wasn't him, but somebody had been there.
She found it somehow, or somebody traded it somehow to her.
Oh, when he got his hand cut off?
Yeah.
That's which saber it is, because he obviously has another one, but it's green. That's right.
Because it was Anakin's saber that he had through New Hope. And
that he got from Obi-Wan. Yeah, I know.
Which was a great idea.
If he had a blue saber and a green saber, then why is Rey trying to give him back the blue saber?
Because she didn't find the green saber. It isn't like there was a blue one and a green one, and she's like, "Ah, fuck it, blue."
Well, it's Anakin's saber. She's trying to give to Luke.
And that's another thing is at the end, because at the bar, the saber calls to her,
right?
And so, and that's another reason. Yeah, she might be related to in the family. But so, if it called to her, but Luke's still alive, who gets it? Like, are they just gonna play?
It's like Highlander. They got somebody.
Are they gonna play tug of war? And whoever has and whoever holds the plasma side just automatically loses.
Yeah, fingers go through. Okay, you lose.
It would be kind of like tug of war with the Force.
Yeah. I don't know. See, that's another thing. Like, I don't know, but
I would like to see what one of their youngling academies looked like.
But I could also see Luke saying, "Nah, I'm kind of retired. Keep it too." Like, I could see it going either way.
What I was really hoping was going to happen. I was so hoping. I wished and wished and wished, and then it didn't. And I was just like, "Well, poop on you." But I wanted him to just his eyes to cast down. And then turn back around to his
and be like,
because he obviously went there for a reason. Yeah. And just because they showed up, it isn't like, "Oh, you're here with my lightsaber. Time to save the galaxy again." You know? And he doesn't do that, which, thank God. But I really would have liked to see him at least just be like, "No, man, I was hiding for a reason."
I think it would have been to me if
it lost all over again.
If I ended it, I would have ended it right when he turned around. Yeah. Like, I would have given it just enough time.
Well, she'd have never made it there because she'd have cut her head off for having bad hair like 30 minutes earlier.
I would have just put a black box over her head.
Chewbacca would have showed up and went and handed him his lightsaber.
No, but
thanks, Chewie.
But yeah, I would have had her.
How about this? In the forest, a monkey attacked her hair randomly.
Yeah, yeah. I was so hoping at some point she was going to get a hair transformation. She did not. Maybe she will in the next movie. Like, that should be part of character development because it's true. I mean, but no, what I would have really liked is that she gets up there and she sees him. And he turns around and there's just enough time for you to see the close up and realize, oh, that's Luke, and then for it to go black. Because to me, that's like, what happened? Did she die? Did he die? Did they have tea? Did they not have tea? If they did, what type of tea? I don't
know. Other than death and tea, lots of things could have happened. So.
It's just, well,
did they
see,
play chess?
I bought my mom.
Anyone's arms get ripped off?
I bought my mom the ticket to go see this movie, and I asked her, "Well, how was the movie?" "It was good."
"Why don't you go with her?"
"Because I was working." And she was like, "It was good." "Well, did you like it?" "Yeah, I liked it." She's like,
"That's true.
Thank you."
It's, they left it where there could definitely be made another one.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for sharing. I'm getting more information from you guys than what I got from her.
Man. Hey, she's probably trying to be considerate.
Yeah, most people. My wife hates spoilers, she would really love going to the movies after your mom.
We literally just had this fight before we were here. My mom doesn't care about spoilers. She doesn't care about chronological order.
We were watching Supernatural.
We were watching Supernatural, and we're caught up. We're on season 10, and Jonathan was with us, and I didn't know if Jonathan watched it or not. And then I asked, "Did you watch?" And he said, "Well, I watch an episode here or there." To me, that's enough to not want spoilers, because I hate spoilers.
Actually, that's enough to not care about spoilers. It's just you avoid the story mode.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
and it wasn't a story mode episode, so that was great.
Yeah. Like I said, my memory is so bad, I'm not even going to remember it until I rewatch it. And so I'm just like,
Jonathan, why exactly is that?
I don't know.
That's what the before.
What was your name again?
I don't know. I just have
Who are you?
I just have this natural instinct to, you know, avoid spoilers at all costs. And to me, it's being
time
polite.
Trust me, April.
Even if they don't watch the series, I'm like, I don't know if you're ever going to. So I'll back off.
Trust me,
you're welcome.
If there was something that I liked and you were talking about it, or if somebody was talking about it, don't tell me anything about it. That's it. Okay. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you like Star Wars.
Well,
I want to pull in
two quick other things, and then we might take another break and come back in again.
What?
Hello, all of
yeah. Whoa. Wow.
I don't know if we have enough for a third part.
Well, we're going to do different things. But the one thing I want Nathan to comment on real fast is the new lightsaber design was basically a broadsword. And then also the in-atmospheric flying that was happening so much. And Han Solo hitting hyperdrive in a ship and then coming out of hyperdrive on a planet inside the gravity of a planet.
Oh, yeah, he landed.
What do you think of those, Nathan? I'll let you choose what you want to go with first, the flying or the lightsaber.
I have no problem with either of those. The broadsword was just decoration to me. I just thought, oh, yeah, that looks cool. You could probably cut your own wrist off quite easily if you didn't know what you were doing.
No, he did get use out of those little...
Well, see, what I think is that because when the... dropped a highlighter. When the first, you know, little teaser came out with him, you know, in the woods and snow and it came on everything, I think people just gave Abrams so much crap about it that he was like, God dang it, now we have to put something in to make it look useful.
Yeah.
And that's why Finn kind of got
a shoulder.
Got stuck by it. Because to me, that was just like, oh, you just did that so it looked like it had a purpose.
I'm with Nathan, and I think I kind of agree with April, too, as I think it was just more of a cosmetic choice.
I mean,
obviously,
cool.
That's what I thought was the first time you spin that blade wrong and roll your wrist the wrong way, that side blade just cuts it straight off. Your own sword move, you spin it, and he does a lot of sword spinning, so it's like, but you know, and then in the other end, it's like, since it's Kylo Ren that has it, and maybe I'm advocating for the wrong thing here, but I really think if they're clever, if they're intelligent, if they're going to do it what I think is right, then they're, you know, the reason he has that is, again, because of his inferiority complex. See, like, I really think that they're going to, instead of just making him a BA, you know, fully robot Vader copy, I think they're really going to go through a lot of his labor pains. Like, it's so hard being evil. Like, they'll probably have a way to get rid of his scar, and he'll wake up with no scar and be all pissed off about it. Like, no, that was because it's really such...
It's
such
acid on himself.
Yeah, it's such a super... compared to some of the other mutilations in the movies, his scar is so superficial, and it's like, you know... he wants so badly to be the bad guy, and he's just, you know, he's crappy at it.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that about him. And, you know, it would be, I doubt they're going to have him cut off his own wrist, but it would be nice for if he ever comes up against like a real Jedi or even Snoke, say, why don't you take those side sabers off of your lightsaber before you hurt yourself?
You know? Yeah, calm down, kid.
And then the last part, what did you think about all the in-atmospheric flying, Nathan?
It worked for me. I mean, as long as it was making sense in the world and in the universe, it made sense for me, and it did. You know, it seemed like that was possible. So, yeah, I'm not. I'm far less critical of that than you probably thought. Cool. But that worked for me. Yeah. I don't know about you guys.
I liked it.
Those were some very good breaks.
I think my favorite
Those were some very good breaks.
Breaks.
Stopping.
Going from hyperspeed. To stop
on
the planet.
Did something break? Or is that just my...
One of mine went out.
It's just us. It's us. But no...
Going from hyperspeed to stop right next to a planet, even if you skimmed it a bit, it's surprising you just didn't ram it.
Well, and I really liked...
you might be slowing down a bit, but you'd still ram it.
Yeah. I really liked when Finn and Rey got into the Millennium Falcon, and Finn went down... to the
turret gun.
Yeah, to the guns. Nice. And when he sat down and he started moving with it, and the whole thing moved, and it freaked him out so much. And I'm like, that's probably true, because by now that's a relic. You know, it's an antique.
Yeah, they don't use that stuff anymore. Yeah, well, it was kind of old whenever Luke got on it and was like, look at this rust bucket. But then now, by this time, it's a real old ship.
So I thought that was... Oh, but one thing that was really weird was when... Poe, when he was escaping with Finn at the beginning, and they stole a TIE fighter.
Right.
Well, is like he mentioned like he was a pilot, yes, but he mentioned when they first got into the fighter that he was like, I've always wanted to fly one of these, which meant he had no idea about those controls. I don't care if he's a pilot. He has not piloted this
Have you ever done any piloting, you know? Nathan?
No.
Any? I mean,
definitely.
I'm scared of flying. I'm scared of flying myself. But like with your military background and knowledge, I just wonder, you know, like from what I understand from pilots and a few that I know, that it's not you don't just jump in someone else's plane, even if it's the same type of plane.
Yeah.
Because every, you know, there's so many controls and they're all a little different. Is that, I mean, I guess you wouldn't know, so never mind. But
and the thing is, it didn't bother me so much that he hadn't flown it before. It was when they flew out and they like were doing great, and he was actually giving Finn tips. He was like, "Oh no, you got to do this and this back there," you know, because Finn was opposite him on the guns. And I'm like, "Poe, you don't know that. This is your first time."
The best thing about that, the most comedic value in the whole movie for me was when they go and they're like, she said, they're doing great. They're just like, oh yeah, we picked up these controls, and they go and they're still tethered, so they're like,
yeah,
you know, and they kind of just like run into a wall.
And then Poe's like, it's okay, I got this. I'm like, no, you don't. Realistically, you don't.
Though it does take him a while to get untethered, if I remember.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
Even when I get in somebody else's Subaru or something like that, it's like it's foreign, you know, and it takes a minute, like, where are your lights? Oh god, that's the you know, the when and you're trying to turn on the cruise control and the blinker comes on, and you know, Jesus. Like that's just with cars, and they're really simple, so I could imagine that's but you know, and I just have to throw this out there, according to Neil deGrasse Tyson, like nothing in Star Wars works. They used no physics. They used no science. So don't get all bent out of shape about any kind of technique. It's not Star Trek. And he's a big Star Trek fan, and so that's what he was saying. But he likes Star Wars too. But you just have to realize that this was written as an adventure standpoint in a scientific,
well, yeah, it's not
ideal place, and that it was never, you know, never ever anything sciencey about it, like the way they travel, seriously. How they're able to travel, how a lightsaber could possibly ever operate.
Oh, have you seen it though? There is a person that's made a real life lightsaber. I mean, it's definitely not as, you know, as
right. Again, they'll never get that to operate. But yeah,
but they but he did actually.
They did.
Create
Lucasfilm
one.
Actually sued him.
But I mean, it was just, it just looked like it. It wasn't an action. It couldn't cut.
So
you're telling me it could cut a steel beam this thick in half?
Well, it was kind of like an ice pick. It was four.
Because a lightsaber is like pure plasma. Mm-hmm. And it's totally controlled plasma. I've seen a plasma beam this long, not as straight as a lightsaber.
And there's a kit that's recently made one as well. And
But there is a huge difference between a laser beam and a plasma beam, because plasma is not just light; it's energy. It's actual electrons. Yeah.
I don't know.
Because what I equate it to is a plasma torch, and with a real plasma torch, you have to have whatever you're going to cut grounded off. So, like, you have to have a connection there. I mean, that's basically what it is it's a plasma torch that just needs no connection. It's grounded to everything and can cut through literally anything. Like, no one's ever made that. They may have made something that looked like it, but they've never made that, or I think I would have heard about it. But anyway, I'm just saying, there's no real science in the films at all. So, like, I don't even really argue with people when they're, like, sciencey about Star Wars. I'm like,
okay.
It's a laser sword. It's a laser sword.
Yeah, it's a laser sword, so.
That's what he created. That's all I know.
Well, I mean, the real thing, yeah. But, I mean, I'm saying a real laser, if you go by what a laser is, couldn't cut through anything. Not in that magnitude. Not in that way.
He was marketing.
It would have to be a plasma cutter.
I'm not a laser scientist.
Anyway, I have used a plasma cutter, and it's not that easy to cut through steel. So, piece that, you know, as wide as my shoulders, that guy's sword isn't cutting through it. That's all I'm saying.
Is there anything else anybody wants to bring up about The Force Awakens?
Yeah, April's a jerk. No, that's all I got.
I wasn't
kidding.
In the movie that you know of.
Yeah, well, you may have been one of those uncredited. Yeah, one of those uncredited cast members.
You'll be like, hey, where's April at? We're supposed to go watch the second movie.
Oh, she's busy filming.
Did you have anything else, Nathan, that you wanted to bring out that we missed?
No, I'm looking forward to the next one, which I believe has the writer from Looper, is that right?
I believe so. I'm not positive, but I think it is.
That was a good movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Should be interesting. Yeah, that's all I have to add.
Is that is
the
it
writer
still
from what movie?
Looper.
Looper.
With Lovett.
Yeah,
Time
Love
Travel
it,
and
yeah, I think I've seen Looper.
Bruce Willis.
I think I've seen it, yeah.
Is it still going to be Abrams?
No.
Directing?
No.
Okay, cool.
He said, I can't remember who the director was. It was, phew.
Like,
I just read it today, but I can't remember.
I don't know. Like, I don't, Jesus.
The bells
like,
rung.
I don't know. I don't have.
Is it dinner time there, Nathan?
Ryan, sorry.
I don't know. I don't have anything against Abrams, but like, whenever I look at his face, it just makes me kind of mad. Like, and it's not, it's not like a, like an actual, I hate you mad. It's just like an unsettling, like, you know?
I think for a director, Abrams is gorgeous. Have you seen any of those people? I mean, they're some of the ugliest people on earth. They're like cameramen. Like, there's a reason they stay behind it.
True.
Renee's going to be watching this.
We're going to wrap this up. We might stay on for a little bit
I
more
like
for
Abrams.
Nathan, but we need
to
wrap
this
looks. Episode up for time limit-wise. So we appreciate everybody listening out there. We're having fun here. Hope everybody's having fun listening to us. Nathan, again, thank you for joining us. If anybody's out there, go to Amazon, any of your jobbers that you look for books and ebooks, look for a series, The Fifth Column. There's three physical books, some ebooks that are out there. He's currently working on the fourth. We're going to get into a little bit about that here in a little bit, but thank you again, Nathan, for joining us.
Thank you.
And everybody, enjoy the evening. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.